Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. I hope you've been having a really great week. I am excited for this episode today because it is taking some of my favorite things about health and making them really applicable. So you guys know that I am a huge fan of the Oura Ring, right? And even if you don't have an Oura Ring, this episode is going to be hugely beneficial because you're going to learn a lot about how much data can be effective for us making decisions that are non-emotional with our health. And because I'm a really big fan of what gets measured gets managed. And if you're able to actually see the data, you'll know exactly what to work on with your health, right? It's not just a guessing game anymore. It's kind of like if you were to get data from a Facebook ad and you now know, okay, is it the headline that needs work? Is it copy that needs the work? Is it the image that needs the work, right? And so you're able to actually identify what the problem is and go to work on it instead of just letting, you know, something you saw on Instagram make the decision for what you work on with your health or maybe, you know, what your friend is doing, right? So let's back up a bit. If you have not listened to this podcast or been in my world before and you're like, what is an Oura Ring? So on my hand right now, I am wearing a ring and it actually collects a ridiculous amount of data, everything from my readiness to my activity levels, to my sleep, to my recovery, my resilience, my stress levels, all of this stuff. And I am able to use this to make educated decisions on my health. And it's actually what I teach entrepreneurs to do inside my program, Becoming Limitless, is how to use data from the Oura Ring to really optimize their energy and their focus and their health and their business. And so in this episode today, I'm going to be sharing with you five features on the Oura Ring that I am completely obsessed with. And I actually went back and was taking a look. I am nearly at 1,400 nights of data with my Oura Ring, meaning I have been researching on myself, optimizing, understanding the data, how it works, seeing the upgrades to the Oura app. And I can say I've got a pretty good handle on it right now. And this is why I'm so excited to jump into this and share all of this with you, because here's the deal. Your brain is the best asset you have in your business. You'll hear me say this over and over again, right? More than your products, your courses, your services. If your brain is foggy, if you're tired all the time, if you can't stay focused, this is directly affecting not only your output and your productivity, but your energy, how you show up, how you serve, the ideas you come up with, and the levels you take your business to. And for me, I started a business for freedom and to be able to have the schedule that I want, the life that I want. But if we are constantly feeling exhausted all the time and not able to follow through and move our life forwards and our schedules are so packed, like that's not the way I want to live. So I actually used energy as a currency to increase the amount of productivity that I could do in my business. So back when I used to work 8-hour days, and I was used to say to myself, like, what if I could get done this whole 8-hour day in 6 hours? Whoa, what would I do with those 2 hours? And that's when I really started getting my life back, you know, and I'm on a rhythm now where I'm currently working 4 days a week, anywhere between 3 to 4 hours a day right now. And I get done everything I need to run a business, serve my clients, do my marketing, record these podcasts, all of it, right? And it is through that evolution. It's because when I show up at my desk, I have the energy that I need. I am focused. I am ready to go. And I'm also able to estimate the days where my energy won't be as high. And I think that is a key. And we're going to be going through that in some of my tips today. Now, my goal is to currently, and if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll see that it is a video. And the reason I'm doing it on video is because while I am sharing my favorite Oura Rings features, I'm going to be doing a screen flow as well so that you can see the inside of the app and how it works and everything like that. So you can really just dig your teeth in on what it all looks like. Although listening to on the podcast will make perfect sense, but if you want to kind of see the inside of the app, I definitely recommend heading over to the YouTube channel where I upload all of my podcast episodes. And this one will be as a video podcast. And it'll be linked in the description below, right? And like I said, I hardly could even believe it. I've had my Oura Ring since June 25th, 2020. That's a lot of data. So we're going to be going through my five favorite features. Now, I will say I have 2 other episodes on the podcast that are Oura Ring related, and those are episodes 73 and 74. Now, 73 is a head-to-head match between Aura and Fitbit, because I used to use Fitbits very heavily in my business, but Aura has just been coming through with the updates and the better algorithms and everything like that. So I am firmly on Team Aura right now. Now, I'm not sponsored. I'm not getting paid for this. This is all my own opinions in my my fast track higher level programs, my one-to-one with clients. I actually buy them all Aura rings because I want them to be able to really see this data too. So I'm just a huge fan through and through. This is all on my own that I'm doing this, and I think it'll be really helpful. So like I said, episode 73 puts Fitbit and Aura Ring head to head. You're going to hear about a lot of the features in there. And then episode 74 was actually released a week later because Aura Ring came out and completely revamped their sleep algorithm. And that's what really made it a contender in my books. But today I'm going to be going through the five features on an Aura Ring that I love and that I use on the regular. And these are a lot of updated features since those episodes. So maybe this will be what gets you to join the Aura Ring family, or maybe not. But either way, you're going to learn a lot about data and how you can apply it to your health, right? And I think that's the most important thing. And like whether you're using a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or a Garmin or whatever like that, there are a lot of good uses for data as entrepreneurs, right? We love data. We love return on investment. I want to know that what I'm working on is the best thing for my brain. So having said that, let's jump into my first feature I've got listed today. So the feature I want to dive into first is their new daytime stress tracking feature. And this was a feature that actually came into play in December 2023. And it's a really cool feature that measures heart rate during the day, so what your heart's doing, HRV, which stands for heart rate variability, which basically measures, is my body in fight or flight? Is it stressed out, or are we nice and relaxed right now? So that heart rate variability, it looks at motion, so how much you're moving during the day, and your temperature, and it uses these things to provide insights as to your stress. And remember, stress can come in many forms. Like we think of stress as like, oh my gosh, my link isn't working, did that email go out, did something get blocked, like the client needs this, like that's what we think of stress as. But remember, stress can come from a whole bunch of forms, like eating is a stress on the body, drinking, social interactions, work, exercise, how our brain perceives circumstances in the world. And all of these things can cause our brain to perceive our body as having stress. And it's really cool. And it provides you with this live graph that is updated every 15 minutes as to your body's perception of stress. And the kind of cool thing as an example is like, even when I'm doing a podcast interview, or I'm on a live group call, or I'm coaching a client, or I'm recording a podcast like this, my stress looks very high because I am engaged, right? I'm moving around a lot. I'm talking. My heart rate is up, right? So this is actually a stressor on my body, believe it or not. So one of the first mistakes is when we often look at these graphs of like my daytime stress and what's going, we get stressed out and we're like, am I really that stressed out? No, it just means you might be a little bit stressed out and your body might be very engaged with what is going on at that very moment, right? And the cool thing is like there's a little drop-down feature in which you can pair your stress in that moment with a movement graph. And so you can see like, maybe I had a workout in the morning and you can see a very high levels of movement. Well, this would totally make sense why I was stressed out during that time, right? Because movement might mean you're doing a workout, which means your heart rate's high, right? Which means your body's under a little bit of stress. Yet not a bad stress, but it's kind of just cool to be able to put those together, right? And like I said, that stress can come from positive and negative events, and it's not always bad, right? Right? The body's natural response to challenge is stress. And that can be from cold showers, right? Cold showers are stress. It's actually a type of stress called a hormetic stressor, which is meant to increase your body's capacity to deal with stress. So let's say you have a cold shower and your adrenaline goes up, your cortisol, those are hormones associated with stress, right? They go up and you feel alert, you feel focused, you get that boost in mood, and it actually increases your capacity to tolerate stress without it being a negative thing. So I love building resilience with hormetic stressors, or things that you do intentionally to cause stress. Like working out is another hormetic stressor, as is intermittent fasting, right? These are things that put intentional stress on the body, right? So we're looking at good stress and bad stress. And like I said, this graph updates every 15 minutes while you are awake. And it's kind of cool. Like if you were to actually look at this graph, and like I said, if you want to just take a visual of it, pop over to the YouTube channel, you'll be able to see that it actually graphs your stress into one of four categories. It graphs it into stressed, engaged, relaxed and restored. And stress is off, obviously, like when you have a high level of engagement, your heart rate's high, your HRV may have dropped, so that your body's stress level is showing that that metric is dropping. Lots of motion, like I talk with my hands. That's why I always have a very high apparent stress level when I'm doing podcasts and stuff like that. Engaged means you are in your most productive state. Like, it's really interesting. You actually want to be engaged while engaging in productive work. So you don't just want to be relaxed, right? You want to be, have a little bit of adrenaline going. That's actually what keeps you more focused. So it's really interesting. Like, if you're looking at this and you know that you're going to be doing your most productive work while in an engaged state, there are specific things you can do to get yourself into an engaged state ahead of time. It's really cool. The next one down is relaxed. And so it'll, if you're in that relaxed, you've probably just been hanging out for a little while. Maybe your skin temperature is warmed up, your motion is probably lowered, your heart rate is probably lowered, HRV is going back up. Like, these are all different data points it's collecting. And then the last one is restored. Now, restored is kind of that deep sense of full, restorative, rejuvenative energy. And I always like to make sure that I am spending time in restorative states. And when I'm looking at my graph on a day-to-day basis, and I can see, like, I'm looking at today's. And today, I woke up, I've had client calls, I'm doing this podcast, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I have actually spent already an hour and a half in what my body calls stressed state. So what this tells me is, because I've been so engaged, I need to make sure that this afternoon or later this evening, I'm intentionally spending time in restorative activities. And for me, those tend to be things like reading, hanging out with my husband, laying on the couch watching a TV show, things that are just really just fully allow my body to relax. And I do seek those out, right? And in that relaxed state above that, I just try to spend a little time in there. So this is actually kind of how I use it. When I see my body has been in a lot of stress for the day, I'm making sure that I'm balancing it with a restored state. And it'll say right on the bottom, it says, here's how long you have spent stressed and here's how long you have spent restored. And I try to balance them. Doesn't always work. If I'm looking at yesterday's data, I spent 0 minutes stressed out, but an hour restored. The day before that, 15 minutes stressed out, an hour 30 restored, right? And it's really cool to just be able to see that balance in play and really just looking at, like, what is my body going through in a day and how can I make sure that I am balancing it, right? And I don't check it all day because that was, when the feature was new, I was like, oh my gosh, what is my stress levels now? What is my stress levels now? And that actually stressed me out. So what I do is I check at it maybe about half an hour into my morning, like, how am I starting my day? How's my body feeling? And then I check in around afternoon, midday, and I'm like, okay, does my body need a little bit more restorative time coming up ahead? And the other way I actually check it is right before I go to bed. So my best sleeps have always come after my body has been in that restored or relaxed state. So you hear that? Going into sleep, into my wind down routine, if my body's stress levels are showing in restored and relaxed, I have a very good sleep. I fall asleep, I stay asleep all night, I have high quality sleep. But the nights where I have gone to sleep, whether my brain has been going, maybe we had business talk, or maybe my kids were being, they're a little hard to put down to bed that night, and my brain is in an engaged or a stress state, I find I have trouble getting to sleep. It takes me longer to sleep. I might be waking up during the night. So I use this stress graph to kind of gauge, like, how intense of a wind down routine do I need? Is this one of those nights that I need to do my, you know, my physiological size and my deep breathing? Or is this one of those nights where, you know, I can pretty much just jump into bed and go to sleep? And it's been wonderful that for that. And the other thing I actually use it for is during my luteal phase of my cycle. So basically from the end of ovulation all the way to the first day of my cycle, I am always monitoring my daytime stress because naturally during that phase of the cycle, your body produces more stress hormone called cortisol. Now, when the body produces more cortisol, you're naturally gonna probably be a little more on edge. You're going to be stressed out a little bit more. Your workouts are going to cause your more body stress. You're not recovering as well. And so what I find is during that period, there's actually higher stress during those days. And so I'm consciously like, okay, I noticed this week has been a higher stress week. So I'm going to consciously put in more downtime because I see what's happening in my body. I know that my brain tells me I'm stressed, but the fact that I can see it, I can also see the recovery time in there. So that's how I use this daytime stress feature on a regular basis. So pretty much it's to make sure I'm balancing stress time and restore time, what type of energy I'm going into bed with, and if I need to spend more time winding down, and if I am in a higher stress period during that luteal phase of my cycle. Remember, that's ovulation through to the first day of your period, and whether I need to be a little more gentle on myself or choose lower intensity workouts or, you know, monitor my fasting window and making sure that I'm not fasting too intensely, because like I said, that's a stressor on the body, right? So that is the daytime stress feature. Huge fan of that, obviously. But the second feature that I really loved, and this feature, it came out while I was in Panama. So it's kind of fun. I got to really see this feature in effect. It came out in February of 2024. And this feature is actually called the resilience feature. And it is, I am absolutely obsessed with it. It allows you to see and reflect on the balance of physiological stress and recovery over a 14-day window. So it takes a bunch of data points over the last 14 days, and it's basically like, how are you recovering right now? How are you balancing stress and recovery? So the daytime stress that we just talked about, it's literally 15-minute by 15-minute what's going on in a single day. This resilience feature is looking at your balance over the last 2 weeks and how you have been coping with stress, right? And so, like I said, it reflects that ongoing balance, and it is a 14-day average of the following things. Number one is it looks at your nighttime recovery. And so when it's looking at your nighttime recovery, it's pretty much self-explanatory. It's like, how well are you recovering from the stress of the day at night? And so what it looks at is it looks at your sleep score. It looks at your resting heart rate, right? Because low resting heart rate means good recovery. It looks at your heart rate variability balance, meaning are you experiencing any stressors, and how you just recovered from the day. And so it looks at those things and it gives you ratings of either optimal, fair, or pay attention. And so that is, I feel like, the one, and I'm going to kind of explain a little bit about how these all tie together, but that nighttime recovery is a really big one. The second thing that it takes into account is daytime recovery. And daytime recovery involves looking at your heart rate variability. So remember, whenever we say heart rate variability, we think your body's fight or flight or rest and digest. What is it in, right? The higher your score, HRV, heart rate variability, the more relaxed you are, and the lower it is, the more of a state of stress your body is in. So with this daytime recovery, like I said, it looks at your daytime heart rate variability to track how well you are recovering during the day, right? Because you have nighttime recovery, but you can also recover during the day. So like while doing this podcast right now, I'm probably not in recovery mode. Let's just say that. So this is adding to my daytime stress, right? And not daytime recovery. But the third metric that we see here is actually your daytime stress load. And it kind of breaks it into three categories here. It's high, moderate, and low daytime stress load. And it looks at your daytime stress a lot like the stress tracking feature we just talked about. It looks at your daytime HRV, your daytime heart rate, and it looks at your temperature and your motion to look at how stressed out your body is, right? Because if you are under a high level of stress during the day, you are going to need more daytime recovery and nighttime recovery to offset it. If you are a low stress load, you will need less daytime recovery and less nighttime recovery. And it actually has like these little bars that show you how close you are to optimal, fair, or moderate. And so if I'm looking at mine right now, I have optimal nighttime recovery, fair daytime recovery, and moderate daily stress load. And so it shows you two different ways to look at this data. Is it shows you a graph actually over time, and it is a trend line, and it's kind of neat. It just shows you like, okay, you can see if your resilience is going down or if it's going up, and you get a dot of data for every day. So if I'm looking at today, it's rating me as strong, and it's given me a strong rating for the last few days, right? There are different categories it actually will give you as ratings. You can be rated as exceptional. You can be rated as strong. And then the next level down would be solid. And then adequate. And then limited, right? And it will really just give you a really good idea of how well you are responding to the stresses of your life if you are recovering properly. And I got to tell you, the days that I think I spent almost a two-week period, maybe longer, 3 weeks in exceptional, and I felt on top of the world. Coming back to Vancouver now, and I think it honestly has a lot to do with the amount of sunlight I'm exposed to, I'm sitting pretty firmly in strong right now, which is the next level below exceptional, and I can tell you that I feel a little bit less resilient, but still very good. Strong is a great word to describe that. So like I was saying, it has a trend graph to kind of, you can map it out and see how your stress has been doing over the last, how you've been coping with it on a 2 week rolling average. And it also has this really cool feature that's called mapping. And so it's basically like, imagine a cross, and then on the left side would be low stress, on the right side would be high stress. And then going top, bottom to top, low recovery on the bottom, high recovery on the top. So think of like a graph with four quadrants, and you can either be high recovery, high stress, high recovery, low stress, or low stress, low recovery, right? You can have any combination of that. And it's kind of really cool. It shows you where you are in those quadrants. And I thought this was really interesting. If I look back over the past few weeks, I can see in my data that I am actually a moderately high stress individual. So that probably is because I do a lot of exercise. I do a lot of animated stuff. I generally have a high energy. I move around a lot. And it shows me actually having high stress. But the neat thing is my scores are exceptional and strong because I have such high recovery, right? Meaning my sleep and my daytime recovery are so high. So it's really cool to see, looking at kind of where you fall on these quadrants, and you can tell, like, am I struggling because I have high stress, or am I struggling because I have low recovery, right? Those are two different things you can work on. You can work on lowering your stress as a way of dealing with your, like, the things that come up in your life, or you can work on increasing your capacity to manage the stress. This is why I talk about becoming limitless, right? Building your resilience. Like, how can you build your recovery to handle the stress, and then also putting in things into place to help handle the amount of stress you're under, right? So I'm always looking at, like, how can I keep a moderate amount of stress and extremely high recovery? And that's why I focus so intensely on sleep, because sleep is one of the biggest variables in helping you recover. It has nighttime recovery and daytime recovery. And honestly, it makes such a big difference. I love using this feature. Here's actually three ways that I use this feature. I use it to gauge my workout intensity. So if I notice my resilience has been dropping, and maybe I went from exceptional into strong, and maybe I'm playing with the solid range a little bit, it's dropping, right? I look at that and I'm like, my body's not responding to stress very well. Maybe it has to do with where I am in my cycle. Maybe it has to do with the fact that I haven't been taking many days off in the gym. Maybe it has to do with I'm under a bit of psychological load right now. Maybe it has to do with my sleep's been funky. But either way, if you are not recovering adequately from your workouts during sleep and all this stuff, it'll start to wear your body down and you become less resilient. So I am able to look at this and be like, oh, interesting. Right now I am on an upward trend of resilience. I am strong. Let's go hit a really hard workout. Or I could say, you know, I'm on a downward trend right now. Maybe I need to lay off. Maybe I need to do maybe a Pilates class or yoga, or maybe I just need to go for a walk today. So it really allows me to see my resilience is strong. I've been doing good over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to hit it hard with a hard workout. So I use it to gauge that. The other thing I use it to gauge is if I need more sleep, if I need to pay attention. So during certain times in my cycle, for example, I'm going to have less quality sleep. That's just totally normal. Or maybe I've had a couple family events and I've stayed out later than usual and my resilience starts to drop. And I notice it's because I've been missing my bedtime, let's say. Now I'm able to go in here and be like, my resilience is dropping. I can see that it is my nighttime recovery that has taken the hit. I need to focus in on the quality and length of my sleep for the next couple days to get my resilience going back up. Especially if I love doing like really hard workouts and cold showers and intermittent fasting and all of these things, I need to be in a strong resilient state to do that. And so I'm always just gauging in, like, what do I need to focus on right now? Is it sleep? Is it daytime recovery, right? And you can kind of see these mapped out. It tells you what to work on. I love it. The other thing it really helps me with is understanding if I need more micro breaks during the day. So instead of doing these long extended work blocks, I'm basically just looking at this and being like, okay, I notice my resilience is a bit low. I probably need a bit more daytime recovery. So maybe this looks like taking a full hour for lunch to just have a nap, or to go for a gentle walk, or maybe I need to do some stretching, or maybe I really just start to look in at my body and what it needs. Like, how am I coping with the stresses of being a mom and a wife and an entrepreneur and an investor and keeping up with all the demands of my life and my health and all of those things? Like, how am I doing? So I obsessed with this feature. I honestly, this is my favorite feature, but I'm just saying, so good, so good. All right, let's move on to number three. Feature number three that I love was introduced October 2023. So like I said, a lot of these have come in recently, and it is Aura's cycle tracking feature. So I am just going to, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, I'm just going to pull this up so you can see it. So the cycle tracking feature, it's really interesting. It is a temperature graph that shows your nightly body temperature relative to your baseline. So it shows the temperature fluctuations. Am I warmer this night or am I colder this night? And it's like I said, it's all relative to your baseline. And the really cool thing is if you scroll back, you can see a temperature pattern. So what you'll see is after or right around the first day of your period, if you get a period, you will notice that your baseline temperature is lower than average. So you will be getting a slight decrease in body temperature. This is to do with the balances and ratios of your hormones, estrogen and progesterone, right? Then right around ovulation day, you will start to see an increase in temperature as progesterone begins to increase. Now for me, I know from watching this for so many months that this increase in temperature starts happening a couple days after ovulation. And it's super cool. You're going to see this increase in body temperature. And right before your period, the temperature drops back down and you will see this wave. You will see lower temperatures from period to ovulation and higher temperatures from ovulation through to your period. Now, I think this is really cool being able to see that regular rhythm, right? And knowing what is going on with your body, right? And because I've been monitoring it so close and doing so many things with my health, like, it really lets you see how your body is functioning. And like, I can even, the other cool thing is it tracks your daily cycle, like length as well. And so I'm able to look back over the past, you know, as long as I've been doing this and seeing like, hey, I have 29 day cycles over and over and over and over again, right? Because the regularity of your cycle length is an indicator of reproductive health. And so if your cycles are 27, 35, 28, 36, and they're jumping around by more than 2 or 3 days, it may be a sign that there is fluctuation in those hormone levels over the month, and really digging in on what is causing that. And so I'll be doing an episode on this coming up in the future, but I have been focusing on my female hormone health exceptionally closely over probably since last summer now. So we're going on like 9 months. And if you're watching this on YouTube, what you'll see is like, I pretty much have exactly 29 day cycles for the recent maybe 6 months, exactly 29 days, because I have been zeroing in on this. And the cool thing is when you really understand this and you understand what causes these fluctuations, you're able to start really digging in and being clear on like, okay, this helps my hormones, this doesn't. And one of the things that's happened recently is since January is I've stopped drinking caffeine. And that has been something that has helped a lot with PMS symptoms and with cycle regularity and with cycle length and all of this kind of stuff. So really, really cool on that. Other things that this feature does is you are able to tell if you are trying to get pregnant right now. I mean, I'm going to speak from experience, but you can tell when you are pregnant on here, at least I could. And I remember, because what happens after ovulation, remember how I talked about your body temperature begins to increase and then it comes back down right before your cycle? Well, my temperature didn't come back down. It just went elevated, 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 elevated. I'll see if I can find even a screenshot and just attach it to the video at all if you're watching this. But if you're just listening to this, basically you saw this consistent increase in temperature that didn't go down. And I was like, holy, that's a deviation from normal. I bet you I'm pregnant. And 2 weeks later we tested. And of course we were pregnant. This was back in 2021. So it was kind of really cool to be able to see that data. And it's actually neat. Aura just released this press release, whatever you're going to call it, that they are now introducing pregnancy tracking features into Aura, which I think is so exciting. So you're going to be able to look at where you are and track your data and relate it to what stage of pregnancy you're in. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm done with kids, but this would have been so cool had I been pregnant, because my whole second pregnancy was, I had the Aura ring and I absolutely loved it. The other thing, just a couple other things that this feature can do is it predicts your future cycles, which is kind of cool. And it says like, hey, We think based on your body temperature, your cycle is going to start in this many days. And then it also gives you a little 4-day window. I don't even need to see that anymore, because once you actually are really in tune with your body and you see your temperature fluctuations, I know the day that my body temperature hits baseline, my period will start that day. It's so consistent. It is wild. I love this feature. And the other thing I use it for is you can use it as birth control. This is not advice. And if you want to hear my thing on birth control, I highly recommend you check out, I think it's called Women's Health Things. I've changed my mind on it. Might've been like 2 or 3 episodes ago. But I talked about birth control there and my journey in coming off of that. And you're able to look at this graph, and I am able to tell when I am fertile and not just by the temperature fluctuations. And I think the Oura Ring actually even links with a type of natural birth control called Natural Cycles, and it'll tell you fertile days, non-fertile days. So really cool that you're able to see this stuff. Now, in saying that, with predicting your period and predicting all of this kind of stuff, the accuracy of these predictions is affected if your natural temperature variation is affected. Now, what does that mean? Basically, if you are on any type of hormonal contraception or birth control, it affects your body's temperature, right? Because the reason your body temperature increases after ovulation is because progesterone, the hormone progesterone increases, and progesterone makes you warmer. Now, if you are on any type of birth control that, you know, levels out your hormones or prevents ovulation or changes the thickening of the lining or whatever like that, you actually will not get these temperature variations. So I will say that I haven't experienced it myself, but from right on the Oura app, it says this is not as accurate if you are on a hormonal birth control. And like I said, I did give all my thoughts and science behind why I came off birth control and never went back on since 2021. And I did that in that episode a couple ones ago about misconceptions on women's health. But it's so cool. You see so many fluctuations on this app with tracking your cycle. Like, I've seen changes in my heart rate. I've seen changes in my breathing rate, my heart rate variability, my resilience, my awake time, my restfulness, my sleep length and quality, my daytime stress levels. All of these things are affected by my cycle. So that's kind of another way I use this, is to monitor my energy. Like, I know that those last couple days before my cycle starts, when my temperature is dropping at the end, my energy is not the greatest. I know my sleep's going to be affected. And so it allows me to have a little compassion with myself and be like, okay, I see these hormonal changes happening. I can be softer with myself. I can be less stressed about my data not looking perfect, because that's sometimes the trap I see us get caught in, is like, oh, but the data, I'm not getting perfect sleep scores and this is affected and that is affected. But when you're also tracking your cycle, if you get an active menstrual cycle, you are able to see like, oh, this happens every month at this time. Oh, so maybe I won't go and plan all the social activities and all the networking events and all the podcast interviews during this month. Maybe that wouldn't be a good idea. Or during this time of the month. And so that's what I do. I actually cycle sync my business around my cycle, because I know how my energy fluctuates and I know when I'm going to be quick-witted and speak clearly, right? So I'm very much in tune with that. Hey, pause for just a moment. Do you want my top 12 ways to biohack your energy? I've created an entrepreneur's playbook that holds my favorite tips and tricks to help you have highly productive mornings in your business. If you're looking for a boost in energy and focus, I think you'll really like this free playbook I've created for you. Check out the link in the show notes to grab it. So we've got 2 more features to go. The next one up is going to be called your body clock. Now, this is a really neat one because it shows your optimal sleep schedule based on your chronotype or your body clock. So all of us have a clock inside our body that governs so many things, from your digestion, your sleep-wake cycles, when your hormones are released, when you get sleepy, so many things. And all of our body clocks are really unique, right? And the Oura app specifically says it determines your body clock, or when you are most optimized during what hours of the day to sleep, right? I'll get into this a little bit. It says it looks at your body temperature, your sleep-wake cycle, and your physical activity, because your physical activity level times are going to change depending on your chronotype or your body's internal clock, right? And when we're just using this feature here, it's kind of cool. It looks actually over 3 months of data. So if you are getting a new Oura Ring, you will not see this body clock feature until at least, I think it's 2 months actually after you get your ring, because it needs to collect a lot of data. Now, if you're interested in chronotypes, I actually did an entire episode called The 5 a.m. Club Lie. It's episode 30 of the Becoming Limitless podcast. That's all on chronotypes. If you really want to understand this, that is the episode to go to, because your chronotype pattern, like what time you go to sleep and wake up, it dictates so many things, including digestion, alertness, hormone release, all of these other things, right? And the cool thing about this is it shows you literally like a clock of how well aligned your sleep was the previous night with your body clock. So you'll see if you're able to actually look into the app, what it shows you is it shows you a circle, and then it shows you an inside circle and an outside circle. And the inside circle shows what your ideal sleep rhythm is, or your chronotype, or your body clock. And the outside line is what you slept the night before. And it's always comparing them, right? And in the middle of these lines, it shows you how well aligned the center point of your sleep was, right? And so the goal in this is to always be lining up the midpoint of your ideal sleep and the sleep you are getting, right? So that you're going to sleep at the similar time as it suggests and wake up at the similar time that it suggests, right? That's the goal of this whole feature, is to show you like, hey, your body is best designed to sleep during this time, and here's when you actually slept. So you're able to actually make adjustments, right? Now, I honestly value my chronotype, or my circadian rhythm and my chronotype and how my body sleeps so much, because when you are sleeping in line with your chronotype, meaning if you're looking at the app, when your two lines line up and you're sleeping in the suggested sleep window for your body based on your data, it makes such a difference on your energy. And sleeping outside of that, like having, you know, the bedtime and wake ups be changing and not matching your rhythm, this is a lot of why we feel exhausted all the time. And we feel jet lag, like that social jet lag, meaning we literally experience jet lag because we're messing up our sleep schedule with social activities, right? And so this is not all to say that we need to be perfect all the time. Like the last night, I'm actually behind by 53 minutes. And this isn't because I went to sleep at the wrong time. This is because I woke up, I read in bed for a little bit, and I fell back asleep a little bit. So it's like, hey, you were in bed too long in the morning, right? And it definitely affects your energy when you're starting to sleep outside of this rhythm. And like I said, if you can't follow this, don't stress about it. Seriously, don't stress about it. It's more important that you are consistent with a time than this time that's recommended. So for example, if your body clock says, hey, you do great on 10 to 6, and you're like, hey, I have to get up at 5 for work, and so it's 9 to 5, it's more important that you are consistent with something rather than being like, well, I have to wake up at 5 on the weekdays, so weekends I'll sleep till 8. It's that kind of variation which really starts to have an impact on your brain clarity and your energy and your focus, right? And it's kind of neat. If you start really clicking through, it gives you an overview of your nightly bedtime window. And so it's kind of interesting. My ideal sleep time, according to Oura, and I agree with it because I have had different sleep rhythms over the years, and this I agree with. Asleep by 8:56 is my ideal bedtime. My midpoint of my sleep in the middle of the night is 12:56, and my wake-up time is 4:56. And that's actually pretty accurate. That's really close. Like I sleep a little bit of a wider window, so I'm usually asleep by about 8:45, and I wake up around 5:15, 5:30. So needless to say, the midpoint lines up. I just enjoy a little more sleep. And so it talks to you a little bit about your pattern. But I also think it's really interesting to note that less than 10% of people, this is right from the app, it says less than 10% of people are this early morning type, this 5 a.m. wake up type. So that's why this whole idea of the 5 a.m. club is absolute garbage. Less than 10% of people thrive from a clarity of focus and an energy state on waking up at 5 a.m. So if you've ever been guilting yourself that you should be waking up at 5 a.m. and you want to because successful people do that, it's garbage. I've had 3 clients that have a schedule that is completely different than mine. I have 3 clients that are optimized at 11:30 to midnight window. That's when they feel best going to sleep, and waking up between 7:45 and 8:15. I have 3 clients like that, and they feel great. So this is not to say there is one right rhythm for everyone, but there is a right rhythm for you, and Oura helps you understand that. Now, I have also had a client that has proactively shifted his sleep time earlier, and the rhythm it suggested has actually shifted with his sleep time. So there is a little bit of wiggle room in here. I think if you are an 8 a.m. riser, I think 5 a.m. might be a little too much of a stretch, but I think there's definitely wiggle room in here for sure. And I always like to think of chronotype as like your hair color. Like my hair is brown, and if I dyed it black, I mean, my hair would stay black, but my roots would still come in brown. And I apply this to chronotype. Like you can wake up at different times, you can do it, but ultimately your energy and focus and clarity are going to be centered around what your natural genetic chronotype is. And this is a genetic thing, believe it or not, right? And how do I use this feature? I use this feature to determine, like I said, if my body clock is aligned with what is best for my energy. Now, I'm also in the very blessed position to be able to choose my wake up time and to choose my sleep time. Not all of us are in that position, especially if we have small kids. But if you have the opportunity to really experiment with it, I give it like a solid month or two and lean into it and then evaluate how you are feeling. All right, we are on our very last feature, our feature number 5 that I use on a regular basis, and that is actually the scores that you are given, and specifically not just the scores, but how they are broken down. Now, the Aura app gives you 3 different scores every morning. It gives you a readiness score, it gives you a sleep score, and it gives you an activity score, and it rates these on 0 to 100, with everything above 85 being excellent. Now, there's a whole bunch of factors that determine it. And this is actually why I love this feature so much, is because it doesn't just give you a score. It breaks down the score and which areas you are struggling with and which areas you are succeeding with. Like if I'm looking at my readiness score right now, I had an 88 readiness score last night, and I can see that I had an optimal rating in body temperature, recovery index, sleep, sleep balance, sleep regularity, but I only got good in previous day activity and HRV balance. So I am able to look at that and be like, if I want to improve my readiness score, there is room for improvement in previous day activity and HRV balance. This means I need to spend a little bit more time focusing on my stress levels. That's HRV balance. And my previous day activity, I had a really active day yesterday, really active. And so it's saying, chill out today. Have a little more of a rested day, right? And you can do this with all your scores. Like yesterday, my sleep score was 96. And I can see right across the board, I got dinged a little bit in restfulness and a little bit in the amount of time it took me to fall asleep, or latency. Now, same with activity. Is it tells you my activity score is a 92 right now, and it's telling me that I'm getting this score because I've been sitting for a while, and that makes sense. I'm recording this podcast, right? And now here's why I love this so much and how I use it. When traditionally we go to work on our health, we're just like setting these arbitrary goals. Like, I think I'm just going to sleep more, or I'm going to take more steps per day, or I'm going to work out more or less, or they're really just generic, right? So what I love to do and what I teach my clients to do inside my Becoming Limitless program, like if their sleep scores are suffering, we don't just be like, okay, wind down routines. Like I don't just arbitrarily throw things at them as strategies that might fix their sleep. What we do is we actually go into the data and we see which metrics are lagging. Because if I can see that your sleep score is suffering because it's telling you your deep sleep is suboptimal, you need to pay attention to it, then we can go, okay, so now my responsibility is to go and find, or if you work with me, this is what I give you directly, is like, here are the things that improve deep sleep, and you go and do those things. And you don't waste time doing the 100 other health hacks that are all like the sleep optimizing health hacks. Like I want you to go and find exactly what works on the metrics that are lagging. And I love this. It's not just a score, it's a detailed score breakdown. And you can see with, because everything is rated, right? You get these bar graphs. You can see what needs work and what doesn't. And if it needs you to pay attention to it, the bar turns bright red. And it's really easy to see. I just love that you're able to go in and know exactly what you want to work on. Now, I've got 2 resources for you here if you do already have an Aura Ring. The Readiness tab. If you open up the Readiness tab, you'll see that, you know, there's a whole bunch of factors in there, like your resting heart rate, your HRV balance, your body temperature, and all of that. Sometimes you look at this data and you're just like, I get that my sleep balance is lagging, but I don't know what that means. If you go to episode 91 of the Becoming Limitless podcast, it's called the Performance Toolkit, 9 Key Contributors to Optimal Readiness and Performance. What you're going to see on there is a breakdown of all of these stats and what they are, how to improve them. So you don't have to be stuck there. And I actually did the same thing for the activity tab. And that episode is 89 and it's called Performance Toolkit, How to Exercise for Energy. And I go through specifically those different metrics and how you can improve them if those certain metrics are lagging. Now, I didn't do an episode on sleep, but I've done, honestly, if you just reach out to me on Instagram, send me a DM. I'm at Tanessa Shears. I'm more than happy to send you a couple of episodes that cover things like REM sleep, things like deep sleep, and how you can improve them and stuff like that. So this is gold. I know exactly what to work on at all times, because I'm never guessing. And you'll see with the amount of data that you get from this ring, it just saves you. Not only is it fascinating and interesting, but it allows you to have compassion for yourself when you're like, oh, I understand now why my body is more stressed out. No wonder my metrics aren't as good. I'm not going to push as hard today. It allows you to gauge your energy. I center my business around it. I center my social schedules around it. It allows me to make informed decisions that are based in data, not emotions. Like, so many reasons that the Oura Ring is perfect for entrepreneurs and why biohacking is perfect for entrepreneurs, right? So the whole purpose of this episode today was really to allow you to have a well-rounded look at the features I'm really loving with the Oura Ring. Because sometimes there's so many features. Will I use it? Do I know how to use it? So sometimes it's nice to just get a behind the scene look at like what the biggest features I use are and how I use them. So just to reiterate, those are the daytime stress tracking feature, the new resilience mapping feature, how well you're responding to day-to-day stress, the cycle insights. If you get an active menstrual cycle, it is so cool to be able to understand your body on a hormonal level and see it on a graph every month that you can predict and understand, and you can see when things are going funky and when things are going well. The body clock, so you can actually see what your ideal sleep and wake time is, so you're not guessing at what might be good for you. And lastly, the score breakdowns. You don't need more data than that. It's amazing. And it's kind of fun. Like, I'm putting together a full Oura Ring tutorial inside my Becoming Limitless program that's going to break down every single stat, how to use it, how to understand it, how to read the data, because the app is immense. And like, I didn't even cover so many features on here. Like, it suggests based on your stress levels, certain meditations that you might want to try, breathing exercise you might want to try. It offers guided meditations if you want to do that. Like, it really is the full service app when it comes to resilience and restoring your body. Right? It's different than a Fitbit and an Apple Watch and a Garmin. Like, those watches and devices are designed as activity trackers. What you've seen is that the Oura is designed as a recovery and resilience tracker. And this, I think, is a big missing component, not only in entrepreneurship, but in general with our health. Like, rest is just as important. Rest does not make you lazy. Rest is an essential part of a thriving business and a brain and a life that feels good. Like, rest is a huge priority for me. It does not mean you are lazy. It does not mean you are not productive. It means you value how you feel in your life more than an arbitrary to-do list, right? We're doing this because we want to feel a certain way. Let's feel that way now, right? Oh, so good. If this has resonated with you, or if you've been on the fence about the Oura Ring, ooh, or even if you went and got yourself an Oura Ring, can you drop me a DM on Instagram and be like, I got it? Because one of the things I love doing is nerding out on all the features. Like, ooh, how's your sleep score? What was it in? Like, I have clients all the time that love to drop me screenshots of things. Like, it's so much fun, right? Like, just really enjoying this data. And I hope this has given you a really clear look at how I use it. And if you, like I said, if you want someone in your corner being like looking at your screenshots regularly and being like, this is what I want you to work on. This is what I want you to work on here. Watch this metric over here. And so it takes all the guesswork out of it. And you just want someone to read your data. That's what my Becoming Limitless program is. And if that is something that is lighting you up and you're like, yeah, I want to use data. I want to make non-emotional, educated decisions about my health. I want to feel energized, focused, and clear in my business and my life. I want to have energy when I wake up. I want my energy to sustain through the day. Then either DM me on Instagram, we can talk details, or you can head to my website, TanessaShears.com, and on there you will find plenty of details all about the program. You can apply if you want to work with me one-to-one. I've got some new fun options coming on with the program in the coming year. But again, I hope you guys have a beautiful week. Thank you for listening in. If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you find this helpful and educational. If you are watching this on YouTube, subscribe. I'm going to make an attempt at doing video podcasts now. So if you want to see me talk to you about this, let's go for it. Let's give it a go. So subscribe. Don't forget to like the video. And I hope you guys have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye. Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.